Hallelujah. We've been ministering great stories from the Bible. The Bible is true and honest, and we can take encouragement. The great men of God in the great stories of the Bible made mistakes too, and they overcame. In fact, we're going to see some of that today here as well. So we're teaching these things. I loved teaching blind Bartimaeus the other week, by the way. They're just great things. So I got to be careful not to reteach last week because we got to move on with more on Jacob and Esau. I decided to do it over 2 weeks because there's two phases. So we're going to continue today to talk about Jacob and Esau. Maybe one point that you need to be reminded of, maybe it's new to you. God called out Abraham. Abraham was the first one that God made covenant with, which resulted through generations into the nation Israel, the Jewish people, what much of the Bible calls the people of God, and eventually Jesus, the Messiah, was a Jewish man, a descendant of Abraham. So with God calling out Abraham and making covenant with Abraham, covenant is a solemn promise on a magnitude that we as men don't recognize because we make contracts and break contracts. But covenant, blood covenant, was absolutely an unbreakable agreement. Men don't seem to have the honor today in their character to make, not very many men, to make unbreakable covenants. And so, of course, it was sealed in blood. That's why it's called blood covenant, and it had two parts, what each party would provide to the other. My part, the other party's part. God made covenant with Abraham. God made covenant with several others as well. God made covenant with Jesus. But we know from looking at Galatians and other things, through Jesus, we've been born again. And we're brought in, even though we were a people outside of God's chosen people. We've been brought into the covenant and so on. And that's sort of a different subject. I'm assuming you understand that today or telling you today, if you're born again, you've been brought into the same covenant. Well, that covenant I'm mentioning went from Abraham, then to his son Isaac, and then to his son Jacob, and then to the 12, which are the tribes of Israel. So it was centered in a single person until Israel as a nation was formed with Jacob, whose later name is changed to Israel, his 12 sons. When his name is changed, the blessing is extended to the 12 tribes, to all 12, to all of the Jewish descendants from that point forward. And again, that was a covenant with the Jewish people and Israel. And we, the New Testament teaches us, have a better covenant established on better promises. And Galatians tells us the blessing of Abraham is for those who are of faith, meaning you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been brought into the Abraham's blessing and Abraham's covenant by our birth, not natural birth, by our spiritual birth, being born again. So we are first generation being born again in Jesus, recipients of the covenant by birthright. That ties to our story. That's why I'm taking time to mention this. By birthright. And, of course, you'll have to refer to last week's teaching, but we really covered last week about how Esau and Jacob were twins. Esau was born moments ahead of Jacob. So with twins, there's still a firstborn. And in the day, the birthright went to the firstborn son. That was the custom and tradition that was recognized. And it says in the Bible that as Esau was being born, Jacob, his hand was coming out and grabbed his brother's heel. And so Jacob, his name, by the way, means heel catcher, with the implication of tripping somebody up. Others will call his name supplanter, or said plain in a word that we would understand today, deceiver. So his name, Jacob, means deceiver. Heck of a name to live your life with, huh? Deceiver. You can see why God would change his name later on. So we saw how when they were grown men last week, and Esau possessing the birthright, there came a day where Esau was out hunting. He was an outdoorsman and all that kind of that, you know, a man's man, hairy and all of that. Hair was red. His name means red. From him came a nation called Edom, which means red. So he was a redhead, and his brother Jacob was a little finer constructed, a little more of a mild man, wasn't so outdoorsy, and he had a real close relationship with his mother, Jacob did, and Esau a closer relationship with his father. And the father, Isaac, he was kind of, well, Esau, that's my boy, yeah, you know, and firstborn and all that. So kind of had their favorites, I guess we'd have to say, right? Well, there's a time that Esau was out and got really, really hungry, out hunting, came in, and Jacob was cooking and made some, it happened to be red, some red stew. And Esau told him, can I have some of that stew? And Jacob said, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you all the stew you want. And Esau said, what good is a birthright if I drop dead from hunger right here and now? I paraphrase, but that's what he said. And the scripture there says he despised his birthright. Or in other words, he didn't give it the value that it had. And he said, okay. So he sold his birthright for a meal. Not much of a price. And I guess I need to remind everybody of this, or you weren't here last week, you need to know this too. The birthright, what comes with the birthright? What's the big deal about the birthright? We don't have that so much today in our culture. If you have several children and the day comes for inheritance and things like that, it's generally equally shared, right? Not in those days. The entire inheritance went to the firstborn son. He received all of the family authority in terms of agricultural society. He got the ranch, and he directed all the affairs of how the family business and the ranch would run. And it's more than likely his brothers and sisters would be cared for in this. They'd have a job and a place on the ranch, but they didn't direct the ranch. So with the birthright comes all the family inheritance, all the family authority. And I didn't make a big deal about the authority last week, but you understand being born again, if you have the birthright, you have the family authority. Amen. You're directing the affairs of the ranch. How you doing on your ranch? And whoever had the birthright received Abraham's blessing. Now, Abraham's blessing is a big, big deal. To have the blessing or not have the blessing was a huge difference. Now, this is Jacob and Esau, but one generation before that, there was Isaac and Ishmael. Right? Where Abraham promised a son, wasn't producing a son with his wife. And the wife came up with an idea, you know, not to blame her. Hey, take my handmaiden, my servant, have a child by her, and she will sit on my knees and deliver a child. The tradition was as if one woman, as a surrogate, so to speak, sat on the knees of another woman while she gave birth, that child still passed through the barren woman's knees, and it was considered hers. An adoption, so to speak, if you will, or that was a son. Well, that's how Ishmael came. It was not with his wife, but with a servant girl. And Ishmael was not the son that God promised. And so later when Abraham, they're both his son, wanted to have, I find myself going off into explanations here, but I guess you need to know these things, right? Abraham wanted to bless Ishmael with his blessing. God said, no. He's not the son that I promised. He's the son of you guys figuring out a way to do it yourselves. So when you hear somebody calling something that someone else is doing or themselves, that's my Ishmael, that's you helping God to get his job done. And God can never bless us coming up with a better idea than the one he has. It takes faith to believe God that he'll do what he said he would do, and faith stays with it and doesn't help God out. Amen. So that was the problem. And my point here, why am I talking about this? Ishmael received blessing, but not Abraham's blessing. Ishmael was promised he would also become a great nation through Isaac, with Abraham's blessing, he has Jacob, who later, as we're talking about now, becomes Israel. And that blessing and covenant goes to all of Israel's sons, all of Israel. So it passed by or did not go to Ishmael, and it did not go to Esau, though they were born of the same fathers. And you may think that's not fair, all that, but there's more to it than that. To understand Esau is to see why the blessing didn't go to him. He despised the blessing. That was the beginning of it there. You may know this, but all of the great nation that came from Ishmael are all of the Arab peoples, where to this day, there's great conflict between Arab peoples and Israel. They have the same great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather that they point to, Abraham. But the covenant blessing went to Isaac, not to Ishmael. Though there is great blessing upon Arab peoples, generally they're Muslim, they do not serve God, they do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews don't generally either, yet they believe in Almighty God, and God's working on saving Jewish people as well. So the following the covenant blessing is a big deal. I guess that's why I'm taking time to explain some of these things, and I haven't read Scripture 1 on our story here yet today. That's some of the background you need to know. So if you have a way that the covenant of Abraham, Abraham's blessing, can come to you, man, there ain't no lottery you could win that could ever be like receiving the blessing of Abraham. The covenant of God being yours. And one of the things we established last week was this. Esau despised his blessing. And defining despise, it doesn't mean that he hated it. It means he simply didn't see it in the full light of its value. And I posed the question, is it possible that you and I could despise our birthright and our blessing? And the answer is, if we fail in any measure to recognize the value of this covenant blessing and what we have, we, in a measure, are guilty of the same thing of Esau. So, among other things I want to establish today, the consequences of failing to recognize or to value your covenant. There are consequences to that. There were great consequences to Esau. Are there consequences to us? And we need to take that inventory. Am I failing to recognize the power, the authority? Am I failing to recognize the unchangeableness of God? The power of God to change my circumstance because I am in covenant with Him? Yeah. We could fail to recognize the power of the covenant that's ours and be talked into accepting something less. Abraham basically was talked into accepting a son by another woman instead of his wife. That is something less. Amen. What about us? Yes, we could be talked into accepting something less. And does that have consequences? Yes, it does. Punishment? No, not necessarily punishment. But we fail to reap covenant blessing if we at any point pull back from covenant. And if in the covenant it is a full, healthy, long life, it is abundantly provided for with extra so you can help others, if we fail in any measure on that, we have not reached the full covenant potential. And I don't even have to ask around in this room. I know me, I am not reaching my full covenant potential, but I'm getting back after it. And I can know you, you are not reaching your full covenant potential, and it's not God's fault. Nothing wrong with His promise, nothing wrong with His word. There's something in me that is not fully striving, that I make sure it's the covenant I have, and I don't care what happens, I will have covenant blessing. If you know Esau and Jacob and some of their story, and I understand some might not, eventually Jacob has to leave home and run for his life because his brother desires to kill him. He goes out into the wilderness and he finds a place where he sets up a rock for a pillow and goes to sleep that night running from his brother. And he has a visitation from heaven and a vision and a dream. And he sees in his dream a ladder that goes from earth to heaven. And there's very careful and specific. I may have to actually tell the story next week, but he sees a ladder from heaven to earth. And the language in the Bible is very specific. And on this ladder are angels. And it says that the angels were descending and ascending, going back and forth. The point being that they were bringing things from heaven and bringing petitions from earth back to heaven. It is the commerce of God. It's how he does business. If you are a covenant child of God, there is a ladder in your life. There is an avenue. There is a method where angels ascend and descend. They go both ways. What's significant about that? Angels can bring the resources of heaven to you. And angels can bring the needs and petitions and so on from you to heaven. To be a covenant child is to have a ladder to heaven. And Jacob saw that in a vision and in a dream. And the reason I started down this road in this story, that night is spoken of Jacob that he wrestled with God all night. He feared for his life. He knew God had blessed his father. He knew God had blessed his grandfather. And now he's running for his life and is basically saying, God, are you my God? Am I also in covenant with you? And will I be blessed and prospered and protected like my father was in covenant with you and my grandfather was with you? And he wrestled with God all night and said, God, you can look this up. You can see this. He said, I will not let go of you. Actually, it says he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, when the angel of the Lord is referenced in the singular, you'll find it usually capitalized, the angel of the Lord. The word angel means messenger or sent one, mostly messenger. So an angel can be a title used for any messenger. Someone brings you good news, you say, oh, you're just an angel today, right? A messenger. So the messenger of the Lord, Jacob wrestled with all night and said to the angel of the Lord, I will not let go of you until you bless me. He wanted the proof. He wanted something that he knew, though his father prophesies and blesses and gives him Abraham's blessing. He wanted to know that he knew, that he knew, that he knew. Now, keep in mind, they didn't have the ministry of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them. They needed signs and tangible things more than we do, where we have the witness of the Spirit living on the inside. So today, how do you know you have a thing? You have the Spirit of God on the inside that bears witness with your spirit and says, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. So you don't need to have the same evidence that Jacob did. But Jacob wrestled with God all night, the scripture says, to make sure, I got to have this blessing. I got to have this blessing. I won't go from this place if I don't have this blessing. Now contrast that to Esau, who for a bowl of soup sold that birthright and the blessing. So retitle and reconfigure the message here this morning. It's coming directly by the Holy Ghost. Value your covenant. How different were Jacob all night long wrestled with the angel of God? The angel capitalized. Most believe and understand when it says angel of the Lord in the old covenant, that is the appearance of Jesus. before he was put into a human body and made in human likeness. Jacob wrestled with Jesus all night long, saying, I won't let go of you until I have the blessing. I won't let go, maybe I should say it this way, until I know I have the blessing. He had it. He just didn't have that faith and confidence and assurance on the inside, which can be a place we can find ourselves in too. And maybe you need to wrestle with God all night long. Do I have this blessing? Is this blessing mine? And go to his word and look at that and gain that assurance. The blessing is mine. And once he knew he had it, he still was in a growing process, but when he knew he had it, okay. Several things happened there. And I'm just telling the story. I didn't look up the scriptures. But before the angel of the Lord ascended at sunrise, it says that he touched the hip of Jacob. Jacob had a limp the rest of his life in his physical body. Every step he took, oh yeah, I touched Jesus. Oh yeah, I touched Jesus. Oh yeah, I got the covenant. Oh yeah, the covenant's mine. That covenant's mine. Every step he took was a reminder the rest of his life that he, the scripture says it this way, fought with God, wrestled with God, and it says this, he prevailed. He carried the injury, but he got what he was after, the assurance that the covenant is his, it's his, it's his. Every step he took the rest of his life was a reminder that he prevailed with God and he had the blessing of Abraham and he was a covenant son. Every step the rest of his life. Have you been sufficiently touched? Have you prevailed with God? Do you know every step you take? I have a covenant with God. I have a covenant with God. I'm in covenant with God. His word can never fail. He promised me, I will yet prevail and receive. There's no way I'm going down. I will always come out on top. He always leads me in triumph. Every step you take, are you reminded of that? And if you're not sure, maybe you better set up an appointment for an all-nighter. It is impossible for him to lie. He cannot lie. His word cannot fail. Has he promised you something either in the word or direct in revelation to you? He can't fail. Now, we might say, I'm not sure this covenant thing is working. Maybe I better go do this. That can happen. We've all done it. But that's the point where you need to remind yourself, Brenda, I'm sure this is exactly what you did and how you received healing in your body. With every step, every day. No, I have a healing covenant with God. No, by his stripes I am healed. No, this can't stay in me. I'm a covenant child. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. But I got a limp. Don't matter. By his stripes, I'm healed. I prevailed with the angel of the Lord. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm a covenant son. I cannot fail, and I will not quit. These stories are in the Bible so that we can see and learn. Hallelujah. You ever hear that song? I don't know. Did you grow up in church where they sang this? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Y'all might have to help me remember it, but we are climbing Jacob's ladder. we are climbing Jacob. And how's it go? Then the verses describe that.
No turning back.
Yes, no turning back. No turning back. Every day I'm stronger, stronger, I think was one of the lines. Every day I'm climbing higher, higher. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross, is that what it is? That's the name of the song? Yeah, we are soldiers of the cross. There you go. That's where that's from. Everyone in the house here, me included, we have had our days where we forget, for lack of a better word, our covenant, the power of our God and His Word. And we fail to receive of the covenant. That's not God's doing. And that's not His fault. And it's not, well, you win some and you lose some. Remember, He told us, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. If we're following His lead, it has a destination. And you know what that destination is? Triumph. Every time, every time. The Bible says always. And there are times the way to limp, Jacob was reminded with his limp, so we can do this. Always. Always, always, and at every reminder of that trouble, that thing that's not in your covenant coming against you, every temptation to say, well, every time that comes, don't say, well, say, always. And it may hurt to walk. Always. He leads me always into triumph. If I just follow Him, I'll overcome. If I just stay with my covenant, I'll win. Always. Always. Yesterday, my wife sent me a snippet from an article. Some sort of 10 suggestions or something for church in our modern culture and society. And the writer was saying something about, you know, consider changing some things in your service, how you do your service. And this writer talked about, can anybody remember whenever a lecture changed their life? And I don't fault her at all for sending me that. And there's a couple of points that maybe are usable in there. But I thought to myself, lecture? No, a lecture's not going to change anybody. But the preaching and the teaching of the Word will. And if somebody's asking me to stop preaching and teaching the Word and use, you know, some other device, I'm all for using another device, but it's still going to be teaching and preaching the Word. I can think of many times when the preaching of the Word changed my life in a moment. And the Word of the Lord came unto me saying, and that often is through preaching and teaching, just like this right here. So my word today is, you have a covenant. Somebody help me remember Galatians 3, is it 13? Let's at least be reminded, and I'll close with that. I won't even attempt to do what I was going to do today here. Holy Ghost gave me a good plan, and it's probably a good plan for next week. But we're setting the stage for some of these things. That whole discourse there, several verses we want to look at. But this is what I want you to know today. By birthright. Yes, by birthright. I want to see it myself here too. Which, by the way, my pastor cautions me about all the electronic devices. In that, he says there's still something about seeing it on the printed page in your Bible that has value. Now, we provide things like this for folks where you could easily come to church and not carry a Bible because we're going to provide the convenience of putting it up there for you. Well, that's fine, but what about in the middle of the night when you're at home and you need something, and we are not at church with the computer running to put the scripture up there for you. You need to probably have seen it on the page. And you get to know your Bible, and you remember where on the page it was. And sometimes, I know it's right on that column, and you look through and go, oh, there it is, because you remember where on the page it is. So it's a good thing. Carry your Bible, right? And you can scan through some things quickly and see. Yeah, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that... Well, I like to say, so that. In other words, cause and effect. Thing done, result of thing done. So Jesus took the curse. I don't have time to go into what the curse of the law was, but it'll ruin your day. Yeah. It'll ruin your life. But Jesus took the consequences of the curse for us so that, verse 14, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me help a little bit. It says Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons became the nation Israel, and we to this very day call them both Israel and the Jews, Jewish people. The blessing of Abraham is theirs by birth, born in a particular family tree, a particular race of people. What if you're not born in that race? I wasn't. Well, then you don't have the covenant because you're not part of that family. Except that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as a second Adam, was a prototype, sinless. He took the consequences of Adam's work and the curse of the law. And through faith in Christ, the covenant is extended to Gentile people. Gentile people are all the rest of us. You can look around the room and you might see different male, female, different race, all that kind of different circumstance, you know, whatever. But all y'all are the same.
Yes.
All we all. I'm doing my Louisiana thing. In the South, you know, when they want to address everybody, it's y'all. But if they really want to, you know, put a punctuation on that, an exclamation point, it's all y'all, right? So all we all are the same, Gentile folk. And another place talks about without hope and without covenant, being born outside the promise. It comes by birthright. Now, here it doesn't mention birthright, but the Abraham's blessing comes by birthright. You have to be born right to get the blessing. And in Christ, through faith in Christ, we are, as Jesus himself said, born again. And when we're born again, we're born right. And we're born with a birthright. And here, through Jesus, the blessing, which comes because of the birthright, is extended to Gentile people. I got the same blessing that Abraham got from God because I'm born right in Christ. Woo! God, I wish you'd bless me. Oh, you don't know how he's blessed you. If you're born again, it's yours by birthright. And Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, I will not leave this place until I have the blessing. Whatever you need in your life, you need to get to that place where you fight anybody you got to fight. Your own thoughts, your own fears, the devil, Family members who say you're going down, or what you think's going to happen here. You think you can be, you know, you have to fight off all of that and say, I have a covenant with the living God, and I will not tolerate anything less than my covenant blessing. So this sickness, this disease, this lack in my house, not enough money, whatever it is, no. It cannot stay. Is it arrogant? No. It is recognizing the value of the birthright and the covenant. And God is just waiting. Come on, my child. I gave you what you need. Rise up in it. And when we demand our blessing like Jacob did, we are not an affront to God. God says, ooh, I hear my covenant words. Yeah. Angels, you hearing this? Now get going. They're calling on the covenant. They're calling on my word. They're calling on blessing. And they refuse to have destruction and defeat. Angels, get on this thing. Get on this thing. And they're ascending with the words that we speak to heaven. God hears them, and angels with the supply of heaven returning back down. And the commerce of God is happening. And we have blessings and victories, and we're led into triumph. Yes. Of course, you have to know what the covenant says. That's why we have a church. That's why we preach and teach the word and what it says. You got to know what it says. But once you know what it says, I'll have nothing less than what my covenant says. You ever get like that? I paid for it, and so you're going to deliver it. Well, you didn't pay for it, but Jesus paid for it. So you can say that. Now, Jesus paid for this, and this will be delivered. Now, it's according to your faith. Faith has to be increased and built and grown, and you may start out small. God, you promised to feed me. And we need groceries in the house. I need $20 just for today. If that's where you are, start where you are. But go to that covenant. And when you see God comes through, his covenant works, your 20 will increase, and it'll be 50, and it'll increase, and I need a couple hundred bucks, and it'll increase, and don't you fault anybody who's seen this and is ahead of you financially or in blessing. Don't you get an attitude about that. Just because they're walking in covenant blessing and you're still working on it. Do not despise rich people. Do not despise wealthy people. It's not about having money. It's about how you get it. If somebody cheats, steals, and whatever to get money, that's wrong. But others do honest business. Others live in the blessing. And if God blesses me and gives me something, don't you get mad about it. You say, me too. I'm in the same blessing line. Amen. Now, you and me, we may want different things, may need different things. But a principle here, rejoice over every victory that your brother and your sister has. Because if you despise it, you won't get that victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So tying us back to Jacob and Esau, you see the difference? One valued immensely the birthright and the blessing. And the other sold it for a bowl of soup. Not only did he miss out on the blessing, but God saw that as a total insult to him, to God. And whenever we come short of believing for covenant blessing, that can be an insult to God. And in the will of God is that all of us would be very healthy in body, live long and productive lives, don't have years in a nursing home, but just simply one night, I think I'm going home. Amen. And you just don't wake up. You just transition without a problem in your body. That's the will of God. That's in the covenant. You may have to fight for it. In the will of God is that we have an abundance financially. Amen. That we have the good of the land to eat, to wear, to live in. And the Bible talks about having all sufficiency in all things and having such an abundance that we can give to every good work. Amen. Your goal should be to be wealthy enough that you're helping other people and blessing other people. Amen. That's in your covenant blessing. Amen. And if you're still working on that, well, you'll live the rest of your life working on that. Oh, if I could just be a millionaire. Well, when you get there, you'll find out that there's other bigger projects that take $2 or $3 million. And when you get there, you'll find out there's projects that take $25 million. Never stop. And don't despise anybody that's ahead of you on those things. Just right where you are today, start being a blessing. The will of God is for every one of us to be prosperous like that. Amen. When's it going to happen? When you get real serious about your covenant. Amen. And you do those things that are necessary to line up with it, cooperate with, get your mouth under control, get your attitude and heart under control, take fear and rip it out of you, and do not be moved by circumstance and by fear. And let's do this thing. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's a good place to stop. Father, we just bless you for your inspired utterance and word today. You have instructed us all to insist on our birthright and covenant blessing, that we value it and we receive the benefits and the victories as promised by you. So today, let these words ring on our hearts again and again and again, that we might rise up as the people of God to every victory and every triumph that you're leading us in. So we thank you for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go get it.